This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh road.
Welcome to episode 232 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. And I'm wondering why I'm sitting in the kid's chair, Michelle. What on earth is going on right now?
I think the chair sinks. I don't think it'll stay.
Sinks nothing. I'm a sinks.
You're sitting on the ground.
Yeah. I'm like, what on earth just happened here, man? I'm like, why is my head below this desk? I don't even get it.
No, it sank because when we first started, you were not that low. And then I looked over and you're sitting on the ground.
Yeah, I'm like, why am I down here? I look down at my computer and I look up and I'm like, oh, why am I here? Well, as always, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from Two Old Crows, homestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, handle all your preparedness needs yourself, everything you can't get. Go check out Heaven's Harvest. And man, we're sure, man, talk about doing everything yourself. We're doing a lot of that these days. And if you want to tip a pimp, do it over there on the Fountain app. Listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed. And if you want to drop a derivation of Bitcoin on a playa, yeah, playa. That's for David Haynes out there. What's up, player? If you want to drop some Bitcoin on a player, you can drop a SAT on a PIMP over there on the Fountain app. Okay, so a little bit of they had wardrobe malfunctions. Now we got chair malfunctions, but we seem to be past all of it right now. So what's up, Homestead, honey? Why you got blue teeth?
I took my methylene blue before the podcast, see if it helped my brain function improve.
Methylene blue. People are going to think there's some new kind of designer drug you're taking. In fact, the first time I heard of it, that's what I thought it was.
Designer drug?
Yeah. I mean, methylene blue. It sounds like something some Asheville crackhead would be taking. I mean,
no, nothing an Asheville crackhead would be taking. It's supposed to, there's different kinds of it. There's just the plain methylene blue, which is supposed to, I don't have all the details. I'm kind of just testing it out, but it's supposed to improve brain function. And then there's methylene blue that has other components added. And I actually took that Saturday and I think it helped. So I'm going to use
what
it
are
for
the components.
A little bit.
I mean, what
nicotine. And then there's
nicotine mixed into it
in the other, not just the straight methylene blue that I just took, but the other one, there's nicotine because nicotine is supposed to help.
Right.
Beneficial neurotransmitter.
Yeah, it helps you think better. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and there's a couple other components, but I don't remember what they are.
Huh. So you're being a lab rat. You have no idea what this stuff is, do you?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not at all. Yeah, boys and girls, if you learned anything from this podcast so far, wow. Okay, well, hey, right off the bat, y'all, let me tell you, the email, look, there's people reaching out saying, hey, man, like people I know personally, like sending me text saying, hey, bro, I'm trying to email you and it's not getting through. So folks, if you're trying to get a hold of me, I mean, I got like left and right business emails that, and I know it, I'll put it this way. If they did to your phone what they do to your email, your private email, there would be people in jail. Because for whatever reasons, they can't sit here and screw around with your phone calls. When I call somebody, it has to go through the whole nine yards. Well, that's not the way it works in the email world. And it's so curious. I mean, regular everyday emails will get through, but anything of any import or consequence concerning business or somebody that has some important information to impart, it's not getting to me, y'all. It's not in the spam folder. It ain't nowhere. It's not making it.
Well, I just signed up for Proton Mail. So I have my account set up. Now we need to just get you an email address so you can start using the Proton Mail account, because I think that's supposed to help.
Yeah, well, folks, we're trying to get ahead of it. I mean, the powers that shouldn't be are screwing with us in a big way. And, you know, just like all the spiritual attacks that were going on, I mean, maybe like everybody that we dealt with said, well, you must be doing something right. Well, boy, I'll tell you what, doing something right sure hurts sometimes, and it sure sucks when you got to sit here and deal with things over and over and over again. But hey, my heart ain't pumping Kool-Aid, so we'll just deal with it. But I'm just letting y'all know, look, man, I respond to everything. And if I don't respond, believe me, I get a lot of emails. If I don't respond, it's because I'm going to respond right here on the podcast. And a lot of times I'm able to tell you that I'm going to respond on the podcast, but I've been so doggone frustrated lately. I'm like, okay, I'm just thankful it got through. So I'm just going to respond here, and I'm not even going to send anything back because people are saying, well, I'm not getting it. So like I said, they're playing games, and if it's not getting through, you know the reasons why. So we're working on ways to try to fix this. You know, I got, you know, business going with Eric Sider, something I was looking into, and, you know, the people I usually deal with, man, they are Johnny on the spot as far as getting information back. And all of a sudden they don't respond, and you're like, well, I never got it. Or, you know, it's just crazy. So it is what it is, y'all. All right. So this weekend had a choice of two things we could have done. Well, three, really. One of them, because I'll be honest with you, y'all, I was for a month straight of traveling and doing this and that, man, I've been exhausted. I haven't taken a day off in a long time, and I was feeling it. And I was thinking Saturday, so plan A was to just chill out and do what we normally do on a Saturday, or try to do, which is kind of take it easy, chill out, read, hang out, maybe even take a nap. Or there was option B. There was this radio class that I was invited, that we were invited to go to. I guess Michelle's shaking her head as if she doesn't know, but yeah, there was a radio class we could have gone to. And then that one was like a couple hours away, and this other one was like an hour and a half away. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail because I wasn't given liberty to do so, but it was a homesteading group meetup. And man, this is exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. I mean, I felt totally, completely, I went there and I was still kind of halfway tired, but I'll tell you what, as I got to meet the people that were there in that room, man, I got to say, I was instantly energized. Absolutely came to life. They had a potluck. And, you know, everybody ate, we got to hang out with the other folks there, talk a little bit. And the cool thing about these things is like going to these festivals is that everybody in that room, by and large, wherever they're from, are usually marginalized, or they're, I say it all the time and I hear other people saying it now, and that's fine, but it's like one giant of aisle. It's an aisle of misfit toys where there's very little introduction. We all instantly get along. We all understand each other, and I felt energized, even though I was dog tired when I got in there. I'll tell you what, after about 15 minutes, I was like completely energized because I'm like, man, I'm around people that get it, that people that are awake. And man, what a joy. What an absolute joy. So I want to thank Austin again for giving me the heads up about that. Went there with Ben and Denise. We swung by, picked them up. They're from Renewed Homestead, went over there. So me and Michelle, Ben and Denise went on down to this potluck. Learned a lot about hydroponics.
Yeah, that was a great class.
Yep, I know nothing about it. I can't say nothing. I know very little about it. And by the time I walked out of there, I thought, and then we got to go to the farm and do a little pasture walk.
Yeah.
and seeing it up close in person. You know, I made sure I was in the front row because I wanted to see these things. I can't see from across the room anyway. So, and everybody's always shy about getting up front. I wanted to make sure I was paying attention and I could see everything that was presented. Man, what a masterful class. Bev did a fantastic job.
Yeah, she did a great job.
And then we went back to her and her husband's place, which was just down the road from there. You know, got there, saw the thing three-dimensionally. Man, you talk about a great way to learn. And then, you know, got to hang out on their property, talk to the other folks there. Just a real joyful time. Yeah,
it was a great, like, those are the kind of people that you don't want to stop talking to. You don't want to leave. Like, I was talking to Austin's wife, and then there was another woman whose husband we had met, but I got to meet his wife, and we just stood there and talked for quite a while. And it just, it feels good to be around those kind of people.
It where really,
you, and you could just keep talking to them for hours.
Yep. You always feel robbed every single time it's time to go because you're like, man, I got to get back. I got to do the animals, got to drop Ben and Denise off, got to do this, got to do that. And then you always feel, and maybe that's a, you know, it's like when you take kids on a field trip, you never let them get bored. You never let it get to that point. You always wish, they always wish they could have stayed longer. And it's always the same thing whenever I go to something like this, especially when I get to be a student and I get to learn and I'm learning all these other wonderful things from the other people there. I mean, you know, Austin's mom, Amy, you know, man, she's in the grounding. Austin, he's awake. And then everybody in that room is awake.
Right.
To one extent or another, they are absolutely awake. I mean, conversations you would never even think about having with your family members or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody know. Like, you can bring up any conversation and they have something to say about it. Yep. They know exactly what you're talking about.
Very little. And if they don't, it's not like, oh, you're a conspiracy nut.
Right. They're
That's
like,
not
oh.
their first response.
Yeah, they're like, oh, show tell me, the me proof. More. Yeah.
Tell me what do you got on it? And it's not like they just immediately agree. It's like, so, hey, I mean, it was actually down in the neck of the woods by Ben Holler and Jason Contreras over at So the Land. So if you guys ever wanted to go out there, man, I think, especially Ben, man, I think, boy, you got a tribe next to you that is to die for, man. These folks are wide awake. And, man, it was just a joy to be there. I learned a little, you know, got to eat, got to fellowship. And I was like, okay, of all the things I could have done today, sleeping would have been a complete waste of my time.
Yeah.
Resting would have been a waste of my time because honestly, I felt energized. And folks, I'm saying this for a reason, man. We cannot abandon fellowship. I mean, Michelle's one of those people that might leave once a month.
But the reason I don't want to leave is because I go out and I run into all the wrong people and it just is exhausting. But it, you know, if when I'm around those kind of people, I'm not completely exhausted by the end of the day. It's different.
No, I totally agree. It was an hour and a half away from here, which ain't nothing to me. I mean, it's funny. I mean, you know, living in flat land for most of my life, when you look at an hour and a half and then I'm thinking, okay, it's only what, 35 miles away. But when you're driving through these mountains to get there, yeah, 35 miles might take you an hour and a half here. So yeah, it's crazy when you stop to think about it. If you can go as the crow flies, man, I mean, if you had, you know, one of those things that they supposedly used over in Israel, remember, you know, one of those things you could fly over the mountains and get there in like no time flat. Oh, was that a false flag? Oh, sorry for bringing that up. Yeah. So anyway, that was a really, really big joy. Folks, I said all that to say this, is that I thought for sure, I mean, honestly, it energized me.
Yeah.
It really did. It energized me being around a bunch of other folks in there that all get it. They understand. So it was a combination of preparedness and homesteading. I don't quite know the full, this was their first meeting back after having not met for a little while. I guess the guy who had originally put it together, I guess he had other things he had to do, but I'll tell you what, the new group, man, it was great. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. And so now, Michelle, you feel less alone in the world, don't you?
Yep.
Yep. All right. So what else we got here? Sleep schedule. That's one thing I'm working on right now. Now I've talked about the other, the biohacks that I'm doing. Man, I could go through them all right now. You know, whether it was the showers, the grounding, PEMF mat, red light therapy, you name it. I mean, if it's out there, y'all, I'm giving it a shot. But I got to be honest with you. One of the hardest nuts for me to crack has been my sleep. It has been that's not been a pleasant road because whether it was the spiritual attacks, and they always seem to happen like 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, we're staying prayed up from the feet up. And that is kind of, seems like that has kind of gone by the wayside, but we're just going to double down on what we're doing in that regard. But it's, for me, my number one problem is going to bed on time. Getting up on time ain't a problem. It has never really been a problem. It's going to bed on time. And I think last night marks probably the first time I've gotten adequate, restful sleep since we went through that deliverance.
Do you know what you did different last night?
Yeah, but I'm not gonna say it publicly just yet. But yeah, it's making myself say, okay, at this particular time, you're laying down no matter what. That's the part I'm willing to talk about right now. The other part, I don't want to say everything right now because I don't want to leave holes open for the enemies out there. And folks, yes, we have enemies. Just like Eleanor Roosevelt said, oh, you got enemies, you made enemies. Good. That means you stood up for something. But I want to make sure there are people out there right now, y'all, who are they're going out of their way to attack us in astonishing ways. And I'm not going to give them the easy stuff. And I'm not going to let them know where there may be chinks in the armor. So what I'm saying is right now, going to sleep has always been a problem. Waking up has never been a problem, especially when you love it. But I got to say, man, waking up, actually feeling rested is something that I can't get more of. So I felt great all day. Usually I'm dealing with this energy slump throughout the day. And I know where it's coming from. But anyway, it looks like I'm getting a solid sleep schedule. That's the one biohack right now that I'm putting everything into. So in addition to that schedule, I'm also working on an education schedule and I have yet to do it today. So I'm making myself read every single day, not just podcasts, y'all. I know those things mean something to you, but I think it's, or even audiobooks. I mean, I know people, to me, I think there's something to be said about actually looking at the words. For me, I remember it and I don't forget it if I actually read it. So that's another thing I'm working on. So in addition to my reading schedule, which is, you know, educational, of course, in addition to that, I'm making sure that I do an equal amount of audio education. My buddy Jack Spearco just came out with another course, and I'm going to start going through it here in a minute. And it's on cover crops. That's his latest thing. So you'll have to go to Jack's website. I'll hopefully get him on the show here before too long, but I got to go through it myself so I can intelligently speak about it. But so how's your sleep been as of late?
My sleep's been good. I'm finally getting back there. For a while, I was having trouble getting up in the morning, but I think that I'm rested enough that I'm getting back. Like I'm rested and I'm starting to wake up at a regular time again.
Yeah, that's definitely something I am going to work on that is something I've put so much work into so many other things. And I'm like, man, I'm leaving out one fundamental component and that's my sleep. So that's something I'm definitely going to be working on. My education, honestly, it never stops. It's never going to stop. And if you're getting into this space and this is your career and you're an educator as we are, man, I don't feel like I can ever stop. In fact, I don't want to. I love learning for the sake of learning.
I think that's one of the biggest struggles is, okay, like before you start this life, you are spend so much time learning, but then when you're in the middle of it, you're so overwhelmed by everything that has to be done that you find it's difficult to keep on learning. But like even today, I was able to sit down for like 30 minutes and look into some things that I've been wanting to look in that I find fascinating. And so, yeah, I think I'm finally getting to the point where I have a little bit of time each day to do that continuing education.
Yeah, I'm going to make absolute. I mean, I can do it audibly because I'm learning all day long. I mean, as an autodidact, that's exactly, I mean, that's where I find enjoyment. And, you know, it's not vegging out, watching the TV or something like that. I'm learning all day long, but it's the modality in which I'm learning. I'm like, okay, I've been kind of easing off the books a little bit, which is just stupid for me anyway. And I'm like, okay, man, it's not like I have to force myself to do it. I love to learn. I love to learn some. I mean, like, you know, it's almost cliche where they say learn something new every day. I learn several things every day, whether it's about yourself or the world around you, whatever the case may be. But I think that's what differentiates so many people in this space. Like the people we met, I guarantee you nearly, if not all of everybody we met this weekend were autodidacts.
Yeah.
Every last one of them. And that's what you find out at these things, at these gatherings, man. That's really why I push them so much. Even though I'm not going to be there, y'all, a lot of times at these gatherings that I promote, because I know what it brings out in people. I know. And then you're also, if you're one of these inquisitive persons that's always going to be, you know, trying to get answers to this and that, you'll be shocked. Even though it's, let's say, a Homestead Festival. I almost said vegetable. Homestead Festival. Every single time when the show's all over, sit there and listen to the conversations that people are having in their little circles. For real. What are they talking about? Michelle, I mean, honestly, what are they talking about?
I think they're talking a lot about, like, maybe spiritual warfare, paranormal topics, various, I mean, just different paranormal topics.
Absolutely. So it all goes hand in hand. Hey, I want to bring up some other thing. I got the sheep up in the mountains right now, and I want you to consider something. This is going to be more in the, remember, homesteading, preparedness, practical living, the whole nine yards, from a tactical sense. I want you to think about something here. Now, I'm not saying go out there and redo everything you got going on your farm, but right now I got the sheep in the mountains, okay? Now, one of the reasons I didn't want cows out here is because they give away your position. I mean, a bull will give away your position like nobody's business. But a sheep, their sound, by and large, will only travel a terrain feature away. For example, in the military, whenever you go in there and do a, I mean, there's different names for it. They may call it something different right now. Whether it's a seek and destroy mission, whether it's whatever, a raid, whatever the case may be, you would have a reconsolidation line on the other side of that objective. And then at the end of it, when you regroup, the first time you regroup, it's basically a terrain feature away. Now, you might be asking yourselves, why does that mean anything? Well, we live in a world where we got to think about tactical permaculture and tactical farming, okay? I mean, think about this. I can hide sheep up in these mountains. You ain't hiding cows up in this mountain. It ain't happening. So I'm just wanting you to think about that stuff. If you're looking for the tactical homestead, y'all, and like I said, I'm working on the definitive work on it, just in my mind right now. I haven't really put pen to paper in the way that I should, but that's one of the things you might want to consider in terms of choosing stock for your place. Like, okay, how much attention would a cow bring to my, would bring to my homestead or my farm, whatever you want to call it? How much attention would sheep bring? How much noise do they make? Those are things you might want to think about in the near future. And I hate even having to discuss it. But we're getting into a world right now where I don't know this time next year we're even going to recognize this country. So these are things you might seriously want to put foot to butt on in terms of how you're going about your preparedness, even the way you do your livestock. A rooster.
Oh, yeah.
A rooster. Yeah. Another thing to consider.
Yeah.
That sound travels. Everybody wants to eat a chicken. Everything in nature wants to eat a chicken. So that's something to consider as well. I'm not going to go too deep into it right now. Maybe I'll cover it if somebody wants to know. There's a reason, like I said, sheep make good sense in these mountains. Number one, I can put them on slopes that I can't even think about putting a cow on. And if I did put a cow on these slopes, it would absolutely decimate it. So that's not a good option for me. In fact, if you doubt me, look at all the other cows in terrain similar to ours around here. What happens?
They're highly eroded.
I mean, it's just nasty. I mean, it just can't support it. But sheep, you know, when you got small frame sheep like this, yeah, they can get through it and then not create a whole lot of damage at the same time. Plus, their management strategies are wonderful. So other things we got going on right now on the front porch, you're drying comfrey. You want to tell everybody why you're doing that?
We dry comfrey to feed in the wintertime for minerals. Comfrey bioaccumulates minerals, vitamin B12. So it's just another way you can get minerals into your sheep in the winter.
And also in, let's say, a grid down scenario.
Right.
So you wonder why we promote comfrey so much? I mean, it does everything I talked about before, but these are the additional things. And we're going to do a video, hopefully, here in the near future. I keep saying that regarding other things, and I never get it done. But really, those are some of the things that you might want to consider. This is why we go on about comfrey and other dynamic accumulators out there, because it may be the only means you have to deliver any kind of minerals to your animals.
It's also the variety that we grow, which is the Bocking number 4, is the highest in protein of the comfrey varieties. So that's another added benefit to this, to comfrey, and specifically to this type of comfrey.
More of that tactical permaculture at hand, y'all. That's what I'm talking about. So worm bin. So I'm down there messing with this thing. I'm still a novice at vermicomposting. But I'll tell you what, that thing, the way it's going on out there, is really making it so easy that anybody, I think, could do this.
So do you know when you might get your first harvest?
I think I could extract it already. I'm pretty sure that I could, but I'm going to wait a while longer because I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to let it build until I really need it. The cool thing about it is I can extract it. I want you to, we'll look at it under a microscope, take a look at it. And then from there, make some extract out of it. And I mean, heavens, the Murgatroyd, this stuff ought to be on another planet. But anyway, if anybody's looking for one, look, I get no financial benefit out of it, but Hiwassee products, man. Boy, I mean, the stuff ain't cheap, but the stuff they make is fantastic. And it's made in America, assembled in America, built in America. I mean, we're talking American all the way around. And this thing absolutely, I mean, it's solid.
Yeah. And they thought of everything. It's everything. Very well engineered. Like, you can even take the lid off and hang it on the back of the thing so that it's just every little detail they've thought of.
Yeah. Everything you could possibly think of, they got it worked out in that product. Man, I'll tell you what, they got some other stuff too. I mean, you name it, man, they got it. And it seems to be the cat's meow so far. I can't wait to take some stuff out of there, give it a shot, give it the old college try. But so far, man, they're making this stuff about as easy as anybody could ever hope. Just got to check your moisture, and that's simple enough. You know, throwing the food scraps out there, covering it up with compost once a week, checking your moisture every couple of days. I mean, this thing is a cat's meow so far, man. This is like this Cadillac of vermicomposting, near as I can tell. So other things I'm doing before this rain kicks in, it looks like we're going to have some rain kicking in, making bone sauce. And speaking of rain, you said Eastern North Carolina just got beat up, right?
Yeah, somewhere in Eastern North Carolina, they got 15 inches of rain today.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder if that's organic.
Yeah, I would say no.
I wonder how many chemtrails were being sprayed over there. Well, anyway, coming up real soon, y'all. And look, man, I kind of dropped the ball on this one. We got a homesteader meetup coming up. It's going to be in my neck of the woods. I'm going to be there. Ben and Denise over at Renewed Homesteader putting it on. That's going to be October 5th, and it's going to be from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and that's in Burnsville, North Carolina. Now, they got limited seating at this place. It's going to be an indoor-outdoor venue. Cool thing is that the indoor part of it, I mean, should it rain or whatever else, you know, everybody can go inside. It can fit about 150 people, so it's going to be RSVP. And how are we going to do that? Leave the link down below?
Yeah, we can.
In the show notes?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we probably should link it. I'll try to link it to our website also, so it can take them to their website so they can sign up.
Yeah, go ahead and sign up. So the way I understand it is basically it's a meetup, y'all. There's no cost involved. I'm sure there'll be a tip jar if somebody would like to donate for the expenses for them putting it on. But outside of that, I mean, really, this is just more of what we just experienced this last weekend. So, yeah, there's going to be a homestead meetup in Burnsville, North Carolina. We're going to be there. Ben and Denise from Renewed Homestead are going to be there. And we're asking as many of you out there, probably ought to do a YouTube video on it as well, to talk about, hey, man, this is where everybody right now. The interview I did with Tag on YouTube is coming out on the podcast tomorrow, right?
Wednesday.
Or Wednesday. Okay. And I'll tell you what, that latest visit to Kansas was so important and indelible to me. That's why I ended up saying yes to that little meetup they had down there in, south of Asheville. That's why I did it, is because I'm like, man, I what I saw there, the community, the camaraderie, the fellowship, the brotherhood, sisterhood, you name it. What I saw there, man, I was like, man, we need to find more of that. And you agreed. And usually you're always a little bit dubious about these things.
Yeah. I mean, we have to start building community.
Yeah. So it's going to be, as I understand it, I think it's going to be a potluck. Look, y'all, I'm going to bring some of my famous, Ben and Denise keep asking me about those beans that I make. Yeah. These barbecue beans. Look, I'll tell you right now, when you eat these beans, they're not your typical baked beans, y'all. It's not like that. Trust me. They're a meal in and of themselves. So when you get some of it, please try to save some for the other people in line.
You better make a bunch. Don't make a small bowl then.
Okay. Are these beans off the hook?
Yes, they're good.
Are they the best beans ever?
Yep.
Yep. And they're smoked beans. I also do this smoked potato salad. They got to make
some
of that. Am I going to what?
Are you going to make both of them?
I think so. I might even, man, I got to use up some of this meat in the fridge. So I'm thinking for sure I'm going to do the beans, because Ben and Denise keep asking about it. And ever since we had them over for that one barbecue, man, they've been going nonstop about them. So I got to make these beans for Ben and Denise. And then I'm going to make smoked potato salad. Yes, I smoke the potatoes. I know that sounds crazy, but is there a better potato salad ever, honey?
No.
I mean, are you saying that just because you're my homestead honey? Is that why you're saying
just it? Just because I want you to cook so I don't have to.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that. And trust me, these beans got enough meat in it to be.
Yeah.
Look, these ain't just beans, y'all. I'm putting so much brisket, smoked brisket up in there. It's going to blow your mind. Anyway. And don't even think about asking for this bean recipe. Yeah. So don't even, or the smoked potato salad. You know how long I've been working on that potato salad?
Share your recipes?
Yeah. I'll give you hints. You know how many years I worked on that smoked potato salad? Anyway, that's going to be October 5th, and that's going to be from 8 in the morning to 4 p.m. That's in Burnsville, North Carolina. Now, they'll give you exact directions once you RSVP, but it is in Burnsville, North Carolina, right off the main highway. You can't miss it. And it ought to be a pretty good gathering. So everybody out there, you know, RSVP, tell everybody. And I look forward to seeing y'all there. Coming up also after that, October 25th and 26th, and also November 15th and 16th is going to be a pig processing. It's going to be pretty in depth. I'm going to be doing that with Jason from Sow the Land out at his property. Keep wanting to say Forest City, but it's near Forest City, North Carolina. It's actually Bostic, North Carolina. So that's where that's going to be. And that's going to be pretty in depth. We're going to go into a lot of detail there. So that's October 25th, 26th, and then another class November 15th and 16th. And then Kentucky Sustainable Living, that's going to be October 26th and 27th. They're also going to be doing a fundraiser for Caleb House, those wonderful, fantastic people from Bear Independent that go out there and kick in the doors and rescue these kids, and not just rescue them, but raise them up forever. Yes, that's what they do. They don't just rescue a kid and then throw them right back in the system. Man, I love what they're doing up there. So Kentucky Sustainable Living, I wish I could go. Michelle might be there.
I might be going. My cousin Melanie might also be going. So we'll see.
Yeah, so William's going to be there teaching. And I think Hacks for the Homesteader. There's going to be a lot of great instructors there doing some wonderful, fantastic things. So that's going to be happening at Kentucky Sustainable Living. Man, I wish we could spread ourselves out enough, but just can't do it. All right, so Redemption Shield, y'all. Michelle, where are your bare feet? Yep. Never on the mat every time I talk about this ad.
They've been on the mat for most of the time.
No, I got to give it to you. Ever since we were down at that, there were some, okay. I'm just going to kind of segue back a little bit. So I noticed there were a number of people out there grounding out of that event we went to on Saturday. And so I'm thinking that might have had a positive effect on you, because I did notice today you were taking a higher, you were really, really making a conscious effort to ground outside all day long.
I didn't notice the people Saturday, but it was Darren Doherty's wife, I think, that is the one that inspired me to go barefoot more. I didn't notice the people on Saturday were grounding.
Yeah, Amy had grounding slippers or flip-flops or whatever.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, and she was asking, well, I thought you'd be grounded. And I'm like, yeah, well, I usually am when I feel absolutely, if there's a chance I might have to be booking.
Yeah, I don't. I don't. I have to have shoes on that I can.
Well, I have other things that do ground you, but that's another thing. That's another thing altogether that I got to retrofit my regular shoes with. They're like rivets that go up through there. But if there's a chance, whenever I feel like there may be a possibility, I'm always got that preparedness mindset. It never leaves me. So I'm always thinking, man, do I want to be in flip-flops if I had to book it? And then, you know, somebody were to throw down on me, I may have to come out blasting. You never know. You just never know. So that's why I'll have to retrofit what I currently have. So Redemption Shield, you know, we're big on grounding, y'all. And we're in a place where a lot of us, some of you may live in a place where, let's say you have a like very little footprint in terms of electronic fog around your home. Well, your neighbor may not. And so you want to stay as grounded as you possibly can, y'all, especially these days. That's why I reached out to Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And check this out. I reached out to a whole lot of people to sell stuff out there. They were the only ones that said, hey, test it and then get back if it ain't what we say it is. So, yeah. That's why I reached out to Redemption Shield. Remember, there's not a product you hear on this program, y'all. I say it all the time. I'm going to say it again. There's not a product on here where anybody's solicited anything to me. I reached out to them because it's a product I use. I know that it works, and I'm willing to tell y'all about it. All right, with that, we're going to get into the good news. Let's see here. So check this out. They got an upcoming Vax 3 documentary. When I say Vax, V-A-X-X. Two X's, ED, Vax 3 documentary exposes widespread injuries and deaths caused by vaccines and hospital protocols. I saw a little bit of the trailer for that, or at least heard it. I didn't actually watch it. And people are starting more and more and more to really speak up. In fact, there was a guy, I won't mention his name. He was an awesome, awesome gentleman I met this last weekend, who basically said his business partner was murdered by the hospitals. And family members, I mean, extraordinary numbers of them, all of them murdered by the hospital protocols, by Fauci and all his ilk. And so I'm calling this good news. Obviously, it's an awful tragedy that so many people have succumbed to this thing. And these are not people that took the jab necessarily. This one's going to focus on the hospital protocols and how they were designed, whether it was the Remdesivir, or when death is near is what it's been called, how that was intentionally given into these folks and put on ventilators, even though they knew this would murder them because they got more money from the federal government. I mean, unconscionable. And people still listen to these people. That's the part that floors me. But anyway, that's good news that this documentary is coming out. And I haven't even seen Vax 2. I saw Vax 1, I'm pretty sure. But I didn't see Vax 2, so I'll have to go back and see that. But yeah, I'm glad somebody is out there pointing, blowing the whistle. You know, that Stu Peters documentary, it got, you know, Watch the Water and some of the others. You know, it's amazing what it takes. And I've said it before, you won't see the majority of America wake up until they're starving.
Yeah.
So you don't be among those people. That's why I'm saying go to these homesteader meetups. Okay, there's not one in your area. You can't get there. Go make one of your own. Let me know about it. And if I can, I'll let everybody else know about it on this platform. All right, so here's another good one. Garlic found to remove lead from the body better than a common chelator drug. Well, okay. That's just one of the many, many, many things that garlic does. I was on a pretty good garlic protocol, but I got myself off of it. I don't know why or how. But
what were you taking? Just like a clove of garlic?
Like a clove a day. I'd mix it in the salad or something, you know, where you don't, or I would just chew it straight up. You know, I I don't have to worry about, you know, but my breath. I mean, I caught my limit, you know. I got the Homestead honey right so here.
So you can just breathe your funky breath on me.
That's exactly it. Exactly it. But anyway, I mean, garlic and all the other incredible things that it does. I mean, Hippocrates was saying, man, if there was only one thing he had, it would have been garlic. I mean, it's good for cholesterol control. I mean, if that's even a thing, you know, heart disease, it can help prevent that. Blood pressure, even lower your risk of certain cancers. I mean, does stuff with your prostate, your lungs, all of it. So it's out there. I mean, garlic is so studied and so proven. I'm surprised the FDA hasn't removed it.
I know. I'm surprised they haven't either. Demonized garlic.
But you're not allowed to say it does any of these things according to the FDA. How about that? Even though it's, you know, I mean, you can't even say, as I understand it, you can't even say that water cures thirst. I mean, according to, you know, the FDA or anything else. But anyway, yeah, so garlic can chelate a lot of this junk out of your body. I mean, we still, that bag that you have down there in the pantry, that's a garlic we grew, right?
Yep. We're about to plant it.
Yep. So we got to plant some more, but I'm going to keep some back because I got to get back on my garlic regimen. That's something I've been kind of slipping on. The way I used to do it for us is every time I'd make bone broth in the morning, and then I would, when it was done, I would basically crush up a clove of garlic, put it in that and drink it. So
that's right.
That's how I got out of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Because we were drinking, you know, we'd make bone broth and drink it every day. That's another little thing I got to get back into. But all these biohacks, man, it's hard to keep up with all of it. So here's another one. Check this one out. Turmeric. I don't even know how it's supposed to be pronounced. I've heard it both ways, but I use it every single day. In fact, I make capsules out of it. Now, before I read this, I want to let you know that, it is known to have high, what is it, lead?
Lead, yeah. But if you get it from Mike Adams, the health ranger, he tests for all that. So his turmeric does not have high amounts of lead.
Now, that stuff is expensive. And, man, I buy his vitamin C. I buy a lot of stuff from the health ranger. But his vitamin C, because when I found out what most, like 99% of every vitamin C on the market is made of, all GMO sources. I'm like, even the stuff they're calling real awesome vitamin C, I'm like, okay, I need a new source. I started going to the Health Ranger. And then also with turmeric, I buy it from there. And I got a capsule maker where I do 100 capsules at a time. And I mix that turmeric with black pepper. And I make my own capsules. Instead of going there, yeah, you can go in there and buy that concentrated curcumin. But once again, what's the lead content?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd rather just take the turmeric, make my own capsules. And that's how I've been going about it. So, I mean, you know, pick your poison on that. So as far as what it does, I mean, this is just a very short list. It enhances your immunity, improves brain function, supports cardiovascular health, lowers the risk of cancer, relieves arthritis, improves longevity. Now, some people make turmeric tea, turmeric milk. People even like make a face mask. I wonder how that works because that stuff will leave you yellow.
Yeah. I used to take, when I had pain, I would take like 15 capsules at a time, multiple times a day. And it was one of the only things that actually helped reduce that pain. So it helps with inflammation also.
You mean like feminine pain?
Like endometriosis pain specifically. Oh,
okay. Yeah. So that's what I've been going. I mean, as far as, look, there's all these natural remedies, y'all, that absolutely exist out there. There's probably some that you're calling weeds in your garden right now and are far more effective, no side effects, no whatever than the alternative in the mainstream medical model. And they're out there. So, folks, I'm going to try and talk more and more about this as far as the good news section. With that, let's go to the good news of my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, stepping over the line. Jeff Lawton said he finally stepped over the line to a fully committed permaculture life when he got tired of being afraid. He said, being afraid is boring. For a long time, I thought stepping over the line meant only being a permaculture teacher, consultant, and designer and making your living from that. But permaculture is all about diversity and can be incorporated into any part of life. The only real requirement is committing to live according to the ethics of permaculture. We also don't all need to try and grow all our own food. We should all participate in local food production in some way and have a few months of food put back. Otherwise, we are a liability to our community. The best way to help your neighbor is to have some surplus to share. A big part of stepping over the line is realizing you can't rely on the government to help you, and in fact, you don't need to. Any critical process or system can be set up in a community if we organize ourselves. Everything we rely on the government to do is contracted out to private companies anyway. I guarantee you will spend your own money for critical resources in your community far better than any bureaucrat in Washington. Fear is why, despite all the evidence to the contrary, people still think they need the government. Why do you think all the news is fear-based? Fearful people can't think for themselves. Now is the time to set up your local community systems and groups that make big government irrelevant. Like Bill Mollison said, it's much smarter to get the second hamster wheel spinning and jump across than to hit the ground. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider, and if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there, and I'm wearing one of his shirts. Honey, you're not representing.
I don't know what happened to my shirts. I've only got a couple. I think you might have stolen them.
Do you really think I could fit your shirts?
No, I think you thought they were yours and you hung them up in your closet.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's my man right there. Look, going back to these, look, like Eric said, well, let me back up. There was another guy that, you know, there's four ways to spend money. And people have heard me talk about this before, but really, really think about this. I mean, is a bureaucrat spending, okay, you got other people spending other people's money where neither cost nor quality matters. Spending other people's money on yourself. Well, cost doesn't matter, but quality sure does because you're spending it on yourself. Then they're spending your money on other people. Quality matters less, but cost certainly matters because it's your money. Then there's that final quadrant. You know, the most important one that very few of us talk about these days, and that's spending your money on your interests, where both cost and quality matters. Now, how effective do you think a bureaucrat's ever going to be when they're spending other people's money on other people? Or in many cases, like our politicians are spending other people's money on themselves. That's why they never have to worry about, you know, pay raises and things like that. The thing is, if we can pull ourselves out of that and, well, reside ourselves almost completely in that quadrant where we spend our money on our interests or our vegetables on our interests, everything would work more smoothly. And sitting here waiting on the savior in the form of a government, you know, half these articles I'm talking about half the time, where was the problem caused by? You want to know who the biggest murderer in history is? It's democide. It's government. That's what that is. Democide is murder by government. And we're expecting, it's like we have massive Stockholm syndrome and everybody's waiting on the very people that created this process to get us out of it. Once again, going right back to community. You never heard me talk about so much about community as I do as of late, folks. There's a reason for that. It's going right back to what Eric was talking about. We got to find these solutions within our groups, our enclaves, the trusted members of those groups. And yeah, one of my biggest concerns, because we've been burned so many times, is being absolutely, like Eric said, fearful. Absolutely fearful. I'm not afraid to take risks. I'm not afraid to bet at all. I've done it many, many times before, haven't we, honey?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, bet everything because I know how to do it again. So that part has never been fearful. I'll tell you the part that makes me fearful, working with other people. I'm not even going to lie, folks. That's been my number one fear in terms of building community. And Michelle, I think to a certain extent, it's probably been yours as well. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
But as of late, you've kind of started thinking differently and talking to me differently about community and how we need to be working way, way more than we have.
Yeah, because I think our response with a lot of the situations we've been in is like, okay, well, we're just not going to be in a community. But like, instead of our response should be, okay, we picked based on variables that we should not have picked on. So instead of that, let's choose the people instead of letting them choose us, number one. And number two, like just because they're family doesn't mean that we need to pick them. So let's pick the people that would make a good community. Like, let's be proactive with it, because we have to have community, and it's time we started making an effort to build that community, to determine what qualities we want and pick based on that.
Yeah, I absolutely been missing the boat on a lot of that. And honestly, it's what I'm concerned about is being unequally yoked with takers. And I know how to extricate myself from that situation.
Yeah, there's a lot of,
I'm not afraid of hurting people's feelings.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that aren't, though. And I think the ones that pick you are the ones that have a higher probability of being takers. But like, if you can pick the people that are difficult to find are the ones that you should be linked up with. But like, they're hard to find because a lot of times they're busy on their own place doing their own work.
Right. Right. But Eric makes so many great points there. And once again, he hijacked the entire show. No, no, as he always does. I mean, he always has great insight on everything. Y'all go check him out. That's where I get my shirts. And you ought to also. All right. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Look, once again, there's not an advertiser on this show that came to me. I went to them. I know that seems a little bit backwards, but I'm not going to be reading somebody else's spots for a product I don't believe in. I've installed transient voltage surge suppressors all over this country, and there ain't even a close second to EMP Shield, y'all. Find me another company, just one, not two, just one, that will guarantee that if anything in your house gets Kentucky fried from a lightning strike, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. That's how much they believe in that product. You ain't going to find it. That's why EMP Shield is a sponsor of this show, and you can get $50 off, 50, with promo code PERMA. All right, so let's get into the main topic here, tangentially related to what I've kind of been talking about here, and that is titrating the negative. And I've been really, really, really working hard at that, which might also help account for why I did sleep better last night. I've been really, really, really careful as of late. And I put it all in P's. Going to call it, I guess, the six P's. Podcasts, people, pundits, prostitutes, politicians, and polecats. Yes, say that 10 times. So what do I mean by that? Well, in the nature of the work I do, now I can't speak for other people that have YouTube channels, or I'm not a content creator. I hate that term. I suppose that's a description of what we do. I don't put out content just to put out content. I try to put out things that are helpful 99% of the time, whether it's in the shorts or in the long form videos. And the podcast, obviously, I like to think that we're doing some pretty good out here. In the nature of the work I do, I have to do show prep. And I have to stay abreast of what's going on in the world. And that means taking in a whole lot of negative stuff as of late. But like I said, I'm titrating the negative in every one of those categories. I was trying to think of course, try to make it a little more attractive by making it all P's: polecats, prostitutes, pundits, people, politicians, you get it. Starting first with the podcast, I've been kind of leaning. I get out there, and here's what I'm doing as of late. And I know I said I was going to do it before, but I'm actually doing it now. I get a basic gist of what's going on out there, and then I leave it alone. If it's something redundant, unless they got new information, I'm just basically going to tune out. And that's how I'm doing it in respect to podcasts. How are you doing that? I know you've always been better at, as far as the podcasts and stuff. Are you listening to a lot of negative stuff? You've always been.
No, I can't listen to. There's a couple that I listen to get like the information. Like, there's some podcasts that will only cover certain topics. And then there's other podcasts that will actually tell you everything going on in the world, not just what Trump and Kamala are doing. But so I listen to a couple different ones, and then that's it. I can't listen to politics all day long.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now, where I'll go out there and listen to some of the trusted people, I think, or at least kind of get an overview of what's going on. And then I'm like, okay, had enough. And that's enough. You really don't have to spend much, because I'm thinking, okay, every minute I spend listening to this nonsense is time I'm not educating myself. And so I spent probably 3 solid days this weekend where I didn't listen to any of that. And I felt better because of it. I made myself just basically tune out. And then today I kind of got the download of what happened, the latest so-called assassination attempt. I mean, who even knows? I don't even know all the details on it. All I know is, okay, it happened again. And supposedly happened again. And I'm just going to put it there because I don't know the story. I don't know the details. Frankly, I don't even care at this point. All I know is I got the basic gist of what's going on. Okay, so pundits. Okay, the way I avoid that altogether is I don't watch TV. Or I don't listen to people from Fox News. If I do listen to any of those people or anybody, you know, somewhat related to them, like a Dan Bongino, I'm going into it knowing full well that Bongino is Hannity Light. I'm going into it knowing full well Bongino told me everything I needed to know about him, and he's a pundit, when that whole thing with Israel went off. If you work in the security sector and you believe the official story, you are either a liar or you are very, very stupid. And I know Bongino is not stupid. Going back to that story, I'm just going to cover it real quick. If you believe that one of the most secure borders on this planet was invaded by hang gliders and then for 8 hours unmolested, 8 hours, they decided, hey, you know what? We just came over here and murdered all these people. And, you know, while we're here, let's just go ahead and rape all the women at the same time. Are you kidding me? The story, if it weren't so tragic, would be absolutely laughable. But when I hear somebody with his security background and some of the other people out there, one of them is a Navy SEAL that has a program. If you're even, look, there ain't nobody in this world that's worked even slightly in this sector that finds that story even slightly believable, because you know that a quick reaction force would be on the first thing smoking over there, lighting that place up. For 8 hours, you're going to tell me this happened. But I digress a little bit just to point out that even these so-called pundits, many of them are what they call limited hangouts, meaning that they will give you truth, but they will also sprinkle in the lies. Okay? Who do you know that does that? So anyway, pundits, I'm not even listening to these people by and large. If they had any affiliation, even the ones that come across in the let's say alternative media, there's a lot of these people that are sold out too, y'all. You just don't know it. Like the Bible says, you will know them by their fruits. So look at them and check it out. Prostitutes. Well, that's almost the same thing as the pundits. Okay, what was it Mark Twain said? It may have been Mark. I think it was Mark Twain. If you read the newspaper, you're misinformed. If you don't, you're uninformed. So, I mean, only Mark Twain could put it that way, you know? So, I mean, think about those things. You're better off to just tune out, not even pay attention to it. Do you listen to any of them at all these days?
No.
Any of them?
No.
Do you feel misinformed?
Well, or uninformed? I feel misinformed because I wonder whose angle I'm getting. I don't know. I think there's some people that I can trust, but every time I listen to people, I'm like, okay, what's the real story? Like, everybody's got an angle.
You know, it was one of Hitler's henchmen out there. It reminds me of a quote. And man, I'm just shocked that these things I just remember these things sometimes, where he said, a media system, I think it was Goebbels. Yeah. Joseph. Yeah. Goebbels. And nobody could ever figure out the right way to pronounce this dude's name. But he said a media system, let me try to remember this properly, a media system should be an ostensible diversity that conceals an actual uniformity. I mean, you think about how slick that is. An ostensible or obvious diversity that conceals an actual uniformity. If you think that's what our media system, and I'm talking about prostitutes right now, if you think that's not what it is, How is it you have all the mainstream media places and they all cover the same exact stories? But then go over, check out the BBC. Go check out, not that they're any better. It's just you have this pantheon of news. But how is it all of them cover the same, even your local news broadcasts, y'all? How do they all cover the same exact news? Without question. Remember that. An ostensible diversity that conceals an actual uniformity. I mean, it's so slick how elegant that statement is. But that's really what we have. Once again, an ostensible diversity that conceals an actual uniformity. Okay, here's the one that really gets me, the other P, the politicians. Huh. Is there a single one of them out there you trust?
No.
Any of them?
No.
Thomas Massey might be the only one that's out there that's, he seems, and then right after he spoke about, you know, the lobbyists in Washington, his wife dies. Yeah, I know she had cancer and all, but it sure did seem a little bit curious that she died all of a sudden. Thomas Massey, I don't know of anybody else. Yeah. So you're not going to find it through them. So if you're going to listen to any of them, maybe do it from the perspective that I now do. I'm looking to see just how they're lying to everybody. In everything I've described so far, and also, once again, I guess that same quote from Goebbels, the ostensible diversity that conceals an actual uniformity, also applies to Congress. Yeah, we think Republican, Democrat, whatever, but they're all working for the same interests. They're all playing for the same team. And then, of course, the poll cats out there. Yeah, we have no shortage of those. And you know what? I was going to go down a diatribe and go on about the poll cats for a while. But I want to circle back to something that's really important. And I'm talking about titrating the negative, right? What about those negative people in your life? I want you to think about this. There was an incident it wasn't an incident per se, but I was telling you when I was at Polyface and we were sitting down to eat lunch one day. And there was a few people I knew at the table and I was trying to figure out where to sit. You know, it was on the second day. I was trying to figure out where to sit. And I sat down. I literally just got my plate, got over there, sat down. And across from me is this guy. And he was a younger guy. And immediately just came off with this negativity. Man, I wish, you know, they're serving us chicken, man. They could have fed us beef. I wanted to see what the beef tastes like. I sat down for maybe 5 seconds and I grabbed my plate, stood right back up, walked over to another table and sat down with a bunch of strangers I didn't know. Why? Titrating the negative. Look, I can't even begin to tell you. Like, first of all, look, dummy, you spent this kind of money here and you're worried about, I don't care if they serve me peanuts. I'm learning from world's experts. I don't care if I had to fast that day and they provided no food. First of all, the food was great. And this is what you're complaining about. So just to not even infect my brain, whereas in the past, the old me would have tolerated it. And I would have probably asked some critical questions. I didn't even let my brain. I sat down there. It might have been 5 seconds. The second he went on, they might have been looking at me crazy. But it served notice right there. Like, I will not tolerate your negativity. I got family members. I won't go into any details. Michelle, tell me if I'm lying. We got, and this is why I'm going to spend the most time on this, because this is where it infects us the most. I got a family member that if he won the lottery tomorrow, would he or would he not? Let's say he won it for $1 billion. Would he complain in a week?
He probably wouldn't even be a week. It would be within 24 hours. He would be complaining.
Guaranteed. So I don't associate with them. You look, that's what, going back to these festivals. Life's greatest injustice is the inability to choose your own family. And so you know what? I don't associate with those people. I mean, that's why I never understood people that get all this anxiety about having to go back and be with the family at Christmas. Look, if there is somebody that is going to create negativity for me, I will not be there. I will not be there. I will either create my own gathering, and negative people are not invited. People that get off, it seems, on negativity. And this is the number. How many times have I used the example? If I got a sheep that's jumping the fence, in the freezer you're going to go. You got a rooster that's violent, in the freezer you're going to go. You got a cow that's violent. Guess what? Going to the locker. So if we don't accept bad behavior in animals, why do we tolerate it in people? But this is, of all the P's, of the six P's I put down here, podcasts, people, pundits, prostitutes, politicians, and polecats, the worst in terms of tolerating the negative are the people in this world. Okay, let's say you're at a job. And man, this is one thing I've always hated about the electrical trade, is that I didn't get to choose my tool buddy. Not in most cases. They would assign you with somebody. And every once in a while, there was one guy so freaking toxic. I remember it was in Kentucky one time. Nobody could work with this guy. And I was the foreman. And nobody, I mean, absolutely nobody could work with this guy. So I'd put him by himself and he would go, "Well, I need help with this." I'm like, "Yeah, well, I would get somebody over there to help him briefly." And first of all, it was always something that didn't require another person to help. He just wanted somebody to complain to. But everybody hated the bones of this dude and they couldn't stand to be around him. I mean, Michelle, what about the toxic people in your life? I mean, they're hearing it from my perspective, but what are your thoughts on these toxic people? Because
I think the hardest part, it's taken me a long time to get to this point, but I've finally reached the point where I spend less and less and less time with them because, you know, they never rise up to a positive level. You always sink down to their level.
Yep.
And that's,
yep,
the part where I have a hard time with.
Yeah.
Because I cannot live like that.
Yeah. I've never seen it the other way around. I've never seen in my life, I've been at the table where there's a bunch of, I wouldn't say just eternally positive people necessarily, because I've worked in a lot of different places, a lot of different factories, a lot of different crews. I mean, that's the nature of being an industrial electrician, is that you're working in all these different environments around a lot of different people. And I can't even tell you the number of times, all it takes is one chronically negative person to destroy the entire vibe of the entire crew. And it never goes the other way around.
And it doesn't take that long either.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And so you have got to get those people out of your lives. I don't care who it is. Mom, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to tell you this much. If they are a chronically negative person, I have extricated them from my life.
Or like you, and you don't have to have like a confrontation, but just minimize the time. Like, I'm not saying that there has to be this big, huge, you know, confrontation, but just minimize the time that you're around them, because it's difficult to be around them because, you know, your mentality is going to go south quick if you spend any amount of time with them.
Yeah. And it never goes the other way. It never, your positivity seems to never affect them in a positive way. Even if you ask that person, why on earth are you so doggone negative? And in most cases, like, well, all the guys I do, you know, they couldn't maintain a family, couldn't maintain a job, couldn't maintain everything, you know, woe is me, blah, 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 blah. And then when you look at and really examine what's going on in their lives, you find out that they are the cause of 99.999%. of their problems. I mean, when I look back at my own life, 99% of the problems in my life were caused by me. Until you first take ownership and say, okay, what's causing it? Is there something I'm avoiding to deal? You know, why do I feel this way? Until you come to terms with that, and that can suck. When you come to terms with those thoughts, those negative thoughts, and it was people like Joe Dispenza, honestly, that helped me realize I don't have to live with these thoughts every single day. In fact, I got it's not an interview, but I have a consultation with a lady who deals with something, I think, of a similar manner tomorrow at about 10 o'clock. And hopefully, you know, talk to her and see about getting her on the show to talk about these very things. Because most people don't even know that they are, You are completely at liberty to change your thoughts. But I'll tell you what, it is nearly impossible to change a person without changing the environment. And if you found yourself stuck in a negative environment, negative relationship, you got to make changes. And usually those changes start with yourself. But folks, that's why I spent so much time on this, is that when I started titrating the negative, believe me, the negative people have, I don't really have anybody negative in my life right now. I'm trying to think if there's anybody I need to, you know, jettison. And it's not that you don't love them. It's you got to be a little bit selfish.
Yeah, it's not that you don't love them. It's just, you know, some people, you can talk to them about things, and some people are very content with the way things are for them. And you can offer, like, maybe some, hey, what about this solution? And some people don't want solutions. They're very content with how things are. And so then you have to make a decision. Okay, how much do I want to be around this person?
Let me also say, now I'm talking about community, and I know I put a lot of focus on it as of late. I can tell you this as a cautionary tale. I don't care how capable that person may seem. Let's say they're a fantastic carpenter. Let's say they are a fantastic welder, fantastic this, fantastic. Let's say it's all under one hat. If they are chronically negative, that is the last person on earth you want in your mutual assistance group. Am I wrong?
No.
I don't care how capable they are. If their attitude sucks, I don't care how much you think you need them. They will absolutely destroy everything. And ask me how I know, because I know. Been down that road. All right, y'all. Hopefully that was a real blessing to you. Remember, podcasts, people, pundits, prostitutes, politicians, and polecats. Focus on those people first, starting with yourself. If you may very well be one of those negative people we're talking about out there. There's help for you. Go check out the work. Like I said, there's so many people out there, whether it's Bruce Lipton, whether it's Tony Robbins, whether it's, I mean, good night, Ed Milet.
Yeah, and Ed Milet's so many people out there. is excellent.
Yeah, you listen to Ed Milet.
I mean, even Andy Frisella, he has a good, he phrases it in a much more direct way. But he's got some excellent content on that.
Yeah, especially when with respect to people.
Right.
I mean, also with those people, I mean, if you have a person who, I remember, you could also tell a lot about a person. Let's say something very positive happens to you. And I can recall several occasions of this happening where something very positive, let's say, happened to me. And you can tell by the reaction of the people around you. Do they celebrate that? Or do they lament the fact that it didn't happen to them? That's also a big warning sign right there, y'all. All right. With that said, we're going to go into Q&A. Let's see here. Dave says, hey, Billy, Michelle, thank you again for putting on the Jamboree. It was a great experience. Learned a lot and met some awesome folks that I'm going to keep in touch with. I know it was a ton of work for y'all and the Dixons and the Ings, and I hope you plan to do it in 2025. I have one follow-up question. I have a friend who lives in Hendersonville, North Carolina, not far from Cloud 9. They have a 5-acre property with a bunch of kudzu they're trying to manage. I was talking to Billy about where they might find a goat breeder in the area, and it sounded like goat might not be the first choice for that job. We didn't get the chance to finish the conversation. I had to get back to my family that evening. Yeah, so David, I don't know where we were exactly in that conversation, but the reason why I'm reluctant on goats, man, is just the management issue. I'm not a fan of goats, honey. Do you like goats?
No.
Some people do. I'm just not a goat guy. I mean, you know what? If I had a kudzu problem and goats were the only solution, then maybe I'd go with it. I might even try pigs. I don't know. I never tried pigs on kudzu before.
Sheep. I mean, goats. Yeah, goats will eat kudzu. Maybe think about sheep also. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, would sheep get into it? I don't really know. Let's see here. Sorry, y'all. Computer issues once again. Let's see here. Okay, so David, I'm not going to be able to go into the full research of this, but David sent this. He says, looks like Comfrey might help repair soils polluted with heavy metals. And then he sends me this study. It was a 2024 study, and I didn't get into it a lot, but I got to kind of overview it a little bit. I can't wait to go into it later. But it says the results show that growing comfrey on polluted soils reduced the level of cadmium and zinc from the vertical profile. Both the comfrey growth and the cadmium zinc stresses affected the community of the rhizosphere microorganisms. Yeah, I'm not sure he finished the thought there, but anyway. Once again, looks like the good Lord knew what he was doing, huh?
Well, also, if you look into certain mushroom species, there you like mycoremediation, there are certain species that will remediate heavy metals also.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, there's that one place in Chernobyl. Actually, there's also been a couple of places where they use mycoremediation to handle that over in Chernobyl. So, yeah, I mean, there's not too much out there that the good Lord didn't put on this earth to fix. It's just, can we stop polluting in the first place?
Yeah, let's just stop it in the first place.
Yeah. Dear Billy, I'm so thankful that you and your family do what you do for me and all the and the others. Y'all's videos and podcasts are my favorite to listen to, along with Jack Spearco and your son, of course. I learned so much from all of you, and I'm so thankful. I'm truly passionate about permaculture and spreading it along with the love of our Savior Jesus. Amen to that. A message today to ask if you have any recommendations on farms, farmers, businesses that may be looking for an intern, apprentice, coffee grabber, compost flipper, or anything else. I'm so passionate about permaculture, and I would love an opportunity to learn more from some of the best. Thank you very much. Praying for all of y'all. Well, thank you so much, Jackson. Well, I don't know anybody in particular, but I'll tell you what, I'll put the clarion call out there right now. Look, y'all heard it out there. Reach out to me, and I'll link you up with Jackson. He's saying all the right things. I mean, how did I get in the butcher's trade when nobody was allowing anybody in? I did the very same thing he's doing. Now, unfortunately, I don't have a spot right here, my man. But, I'll tell you what, your enthusiasm, it definitely shines through. So if anybody out there has a job for Jackson, probably going to be a better deal than the than those woofers out there.
Than Marchie in Asheville.
Yeah. So I got another one here. I'm not going to go through it. It's kind of personal, and it's from Angela. And basically, Michelle, I think you were tagged in this one as well. And look, shoot, I don't really know how to get into this, but look, y'all, pray for Angela out there. Pray for each other. Pray for us because we pray for y'all. I mean it. We pray that the stuff we put out there is a blessing to all of y'all. But there's a lot of us out here also that are dealing with weird, crazy, some of them awful circumstances. There's a lot of homestead honeys out there that are married to some oafs. Now, I don't know the whole story here, but I do get a lot of responses or a lot of letters from women talking about how the guys are just complete nincompoops. Especially this time of year, football season's kicked off, and now all they do, football's on 7 days a week, whether it's what? I mean, it used to be Monday night, Sunday, and Monday night football. Now they got it every day of the week, and why is it there? So guys can veg out, relive their glory days, and pretend to be on that field. Meanwhile, you're missing the most important things in your life, or what should be. So for Angela and all the other ladies out there that are just married to complete nincompoops, man, I'm going to be praying for you. I mean, when I say it's the least I can do, no, it's all I can do. It's the most we can all do for one another. I pray that they snap out of it. And I'm using football as an example. It could be anything. A hobby, whatever, this escapism, whatever the case may be. Chronic abuse, whatever the case may be. We'll be praying that things definitely improve. And Michelle, I hope you'll respond with more specific concern, you know, regarding those concerns, because there's certain things as a man that I just can't speak to, but you know, a woman could basically have a better understanding of the things that are communicated. So it's helpful to have the Homestead Honey right here in the podcast with me. Well, thank y'all so much for checking us out. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
You spitting that man a cotty, yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they wanna build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. The kamikaze got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They wanna push me to the center like a cell, they wanna spill me, but the center of the next is me. They want me to bottom, but I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I will never bow down, cause I'm a warrior.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.